Thank you.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of things I want to introduce here with Pastor Daniel. And the first thing I want to say is just kind of acknowledge this miracle that God does, that this is not a big place, right? Pagosa is not a big place, but God has sovereignly connected us with different places all over the world. Like there's a place in Nochitlan, Oaxaca, the southern border of Mexico, where we're connected. There's a connection in Torreon, sort of central Mexico in the state of Coahuila, where we are connected. There's a place called the rough side of the mountain outside of Sheep Springs, New Mexico, with the Navajo Reservation, and this place has a connection with that place. And then there's this place in the city of Eluru in southeast India in the state of Andhra Pradesh, and these are big places over there, but a small groups of fellowships, they are connected to us, like connected to us. Like that's some sovereign grace of God, some miracle almost, that he says, I want to take this guy that has this ministry in Eluru, connect him with this little place in Pagosa Springs since about 96 or 97, like a long time. But what I know too, though, is that we have a lot of new people in the church. Not everybody knows Pastor Daniel, so I'm going to set this up just a little. I was struck by this. There's a couple of scriptures, and I didn't give these to Michaela, and it's okay, Michaela, if we don't turn to them. I'm just going to read a couple of lines that what I noticed Paul was doing. So, for example, in Romans chapter 16, that verses 1 and 2, Paul said to the Romans, I commend you to our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you. And he does this about five or six different times in his epistles, where he says, I'm going to commend this guy who's coming to help you. I'm telling you, he's the real deal. He's a legitimate good guy. And what I was thinking about is we get to know people over time and then we trust them, right? But sometimes we don't have time to wait to get to know people really well. So someone has to speak on their behalf and say, look, I'm telling you, this is a good guy. You understand? Like, you may not have relational equity with Daniel, but I do. And I've seen him in action. We've been to India to his fellowships. And I go, yeah, this guy's a real deal. And so you don't have to sit in judgment. You don't have to sit there wondering. So I'm going to take that off your plate. You don't have to say, is he the real deal or not? I'm just telling you right now, he's the real deal. So now you get to just say, okay, what can I learn from somebody who's here really giving us something? So I kind of wanted to start with that. And then the other thing is, he's been coming for so long, but a lot of you wouldn't know him, haven't met him, hadn't talked to him. So I was going to ask him a couple of questions about his early days, kind of get us up to speed. And then he has a slide presentation of what are they up to this year and what's kind of their hopes for the future. And that's what we're up to today. And I think we all have different accents. And if I hear a word from Daniel I don't understand, I'll ask him. And we'll be very clear that way. It'll be very nice. But so anyway, one of the things that I wanted to ask about, because it's a cool story, but maybe just to remind us about how you were raised, how was it that you became a Christian in a country that's 98% Hindu? And how was that? How did that occur for you? Maybe you could tell us a little bit of your story, Daniel.
Well, I lost my father at an 8-month-old baby. We were 3 children to my parents. I am the youngest one. Back in 1950s, India, if we think about India is just dirt. Under that circumstances, to a woman without job, without any assets, to feed these children, it's a hard to the woman. Under that circumstances, I was sent to a German-supported orphanage in India, and I grew up there. In the orphanage, they do have morning and evening, they do have worship time. But I do not have personal relationship with Jesus Christ. At that time, I had an accident. I fell upside down from a tree, and I had an accident. At that time only, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. After I finished my education, I went to the theological seminary, and I worked with a local missionary almost 10 years. After that, through his encouragement, I started this ministry called New Covenant Ministries. It means, before I had the accident, I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. After the accident, I accept Jesus Christ. I made a covenant with Jesus. That's the name of the ministry, New Covenant Ministries. Nowadays, we do have 15 churches. You were there, some of the churches. Yeah. We do have 15 churches, and 10 of the other pastors are working with me in the ministry nowadays.
Amen. Which is, and that was in the 90s, 95 or 96, when New Covenant Ministries started?
Yeah, 95, yeah. Brother.
95, yeah. And so now when you go there, there are 10 churches,
15 churches,
10 pastors. They have a church school, 180 kids. And they've had different things going with orphans. And as we see the slideshow, you'll see this. They've got a lot going on. So Pastor Daniel has his own fellowship, and he oversees the 10 pastors, and they have fellowships. And everywhere you look, there is growth. There's things going on. As we'll see, there's people getting baptized, and it is no joke when a person gets baptized in India, they are actually saying, I've decided to follow Jesus, take my life or not, I'm going to serve him. And we'll see in the slides too that the persecution has really ramped up in India and in his region. There's been some very hard things, and we'll hear a little bit more about that. So I'm just saying, as we hear his presentation, that we have this open heart to say, is God asking me to partner? But even beyond that, what do I learn from this? A guy that gives his life to God unreservedly. And Rory was even touching on that this morning, like you just say, I'm giving it all. What do we learn from that? So really, we're not just saying, please give your money. We're actually saying, can you follow Jesus? He had a story. I don't think it's part of a slideshow, but there was a lady that these radical Hindus got a hold of her and put a knife to her throat and say, if you'll denounce Jesus, we'll let you live. And she said, I've decided to follow Jesus. And through that experience, she did actually die. But that's the place where these guys are. That's their environment. And I go, well, we could learn from that, right? We could be challenged to grow and to take their burden to pray for them. Because that miracle that God connected us with this place in El Aru, Agosa Springs, Colorado. Weird. But that's God's deal, not ours, right? And so, anyway, it's very, for me, very challenging and stirs me up and like, okay, I could definitely, you know, I could give more, I could learn, I can have my flesh crucified and give to God. And this is the experience that I have from being around Daniel. So, okay, I think let's start your slideshow, and he'll just give some talks about the slides. And if I have questions, I'll ask them, and we'll just go from here.
Well, good morning. It's my turn.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here this morning. To travel all the way, I mean, it's over 18,000 miles. In the air, it's a 20 hours flight. But God gave me safe arrival to here, and I'm here to share about Jesus Christ. To share about Jesus Christ back in India, it's not an easy thing. It's a challenging job. It's a challenging job. But before that, when I go, I would like to read some of the scriptures from the book of Luke. From the book of Luke, chapter 21. I want to read from 8th, 9th, 10th, and up to 12th verses I would like to read. From the book of Luke, chapter 21, beginning from 8th verse. And he said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. And 12th verse, persecution. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you made this day to rejoice in your name. So Lord, we gather together in your house to pray, to glorify your name. Lord, we praise you for your presence with us this morning. Lord, help us to understand thy word and help us to act according to thy word, what you command to us in our daily lives, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to get together once again. And Lord, we lift you up on high. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, according to the Gospel of Luke, now we are the time, I mean, end of the times. I don't know how much persecution the United States have facing or tasting, but I would like to share couple incidents which took place in this year, I mean January and March, how the Christians being persecuted in India. How the pastors killed in India for Christ. Well, it's written long years back, but now we are facing, these things are in our hands nowadays. The earthquakes, the pestilences, this type of circumstances, wars against to the nation, against to the nations. These are all things we are facing nowadays. Under the circumstances, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, how do we have to prepare? How do we have to prepare? I mean, you guys have schedule for everything. I mean, this time we need to have to wake up. We do have to prepare hour after hour, hour after. But how much time we are spending with the Almighty God? I read an article about Dr. Billy Graham's several months back. And the Fox News guys came to Dr. Billy and they asked Dr. Billy Graham, "Doctor, why not you come to be a president of this country?" And Billy Graham said, "Well, God gave me an opportunity to share about his life, about his kingdom. I don't want to be a president of this nation. I just want to preach the gospel." And he quoted the commandment of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Mark, "Go into all the world." He said, and finally the Fox News guys asked him, "What's the secret of your life? What is the secret of your success?" He said, "Three things I have. The first one is prayer. Second one is prayer. And the third one is prayer." Prayer, prayer. So under the circumstances, according to the Gospel of Luke, how much time we are spending in prayer, how much challenge we are taking care about the kingdom is coming up. So I just want to share a couple of incidents which took place in this year, in January and March. As brother said, Mark said, one of the group of the Christians gathered in a place, in a house, to worship. And the Hindu radicals knew that. I mean, they had the information about this group of the people who is gathered together for prayer, for worship. And they come to persecute this group of the people who is going to pray. For some kind of information, these people have know when they are coming. So they ran. At the time, these people, the Hindu radical people, caught a lady, which is, I mean, between 45 and 40 years old. They caught a lady, and they asked that they said that lady, "If you want to live in your life, you have to deny Jesus Christ as your personal savior. You have to deny, otherwise we do not let you go." And she said, "I don't want to deny Jesus Christ as my personal savior. I don't want. I want to worship him. I want to pray for him," she said. And the group of radical Hindu guys, I mean, radical Hindu means over 90% people are Hindus in that country. They worship the creation instead of creator. And these guys, one of the guys put a knife on her throat. "If you want to live, we will let you go. Otherwise, we will kill you." And the lady said, "I have decided to follow Jesus Christ. Whatever you want to do, I just want to follow Jesus Christ." Between this conversation, one of the guy from the group advised this guy who put the knife on her throat, don't kill her at one time. But you pull out her eyes, he advised. This guy pull out her eyes, her both eyes, they pull out it. After a couple of weeks, the whole body get infected. After a couple of weeks, she died because there is no medication. I mean, the doctors can't help her because of she is a Christian, because the Hindu radicals are up there. So that's one of the incident. And the second one is in March. I want to, next one, please. And the second one is, next one, please. This is the pastor. In March, on 24th, they took the iron rods and they killed him. They break his head, and I knew him by person. I knew this person by I knew him by person. So they killed him. He have a wife and children, and he's a good doctrinal preacher. So they killed him in my region, in my state. So he is the pastor killed. This kind of persecution, how the scripture fulfilling nowadays in front of us. To preach the gospel in that country, to preach the good news in that country, it's a challenging job. Every day in the country, because in the India's population is nowadays is 1.5 billion people. 1.5 billion people every day, over 90% population as Hindus, every day somewhere is happening this kind of persecution in India. Every day. So the persecution is going on. The Christians being persecuted and pastors being killed. Under these circumstances, the New Covenant Ministries is preaching the gospel. In the ministry, we do have 15 churches and 10 of the other pastors. Next, please. And we, under this circumstance, this past year, over 18 people, I baptized over 18 people under that circumstances. Next, please. And these are the people we baptized. And I built that baptismal tank in front of the church because we do have much, I mean, the place is very small. At the same time, when we do the baptisms, the people from the congregation, from the neighborhood, they are watching, and we are giving the testimony how we baptize, how we accept Jesus Christ. So that's one of the reasons we built that tank. And after they take the baptism, we just pray for them because they have lots of Hindu influence after they get the baptism. And lots of evil attacks upon those people. So we just pray for the protection from the Holy Spirit. We prayed for that people. Over there. Next one, please. And I had an opportunity to give some baptisms on that lake. It's a good water. I had the opportunity. Next one, please. And here is the guy. We had an opportunity to baptize some of the people over there. Brother Mark participated to baptize those people over there. And when we give the baptism, we ask how they accept. And after the baptism, if they have some trials and tribulations, are you able to stay for Christ? That type of questions we ask. So I had to ask them, and because he do not know the language. I mean the local language. We do have 56 letters in alphabet in my language. So I asked that, and we baptized those people up there. Next, please. And these are the next, please. And the ordination, I do have 3 children, 2 daughters and 1 son. My son Samuel is ordinated in November, 9th of November in 2024. Those two are my son Samuel and his wife. He gets ordination, and nowadays he is taking care about the activities of the ministry over there. Next, please. And the open-air gospel campaign back in India, it's to arrange an open-air gospel campaign. It's a challenging job because the people, the Hindu people from the neighborhood, they come, and sometimes they turn off the electricity, and sometimes they throw the sand and rocks. The people who are gathered together for worship, it's a challenging job to conduct this open-air gospel campaign. So next one, please. And those are the pastor's wives. They had a song on their day, and this is the group of the people gathered together for that 3-night open-air campaign. And you see the electricity is very scarce. I mean, at the time of summer, we do have 120 to 140 degrees with 90% humidity. So we had a hard time to get the electricity. So those are the people for the campaign. By the end of third day, there were 4 people came up to take baptism. Pastor, we want to take baptism. So we paid lots of labor to conduct this campaign, but we had an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ at that place. Next, please. Next, please. And we are conducting some children's retreats and youth retreats. So we had an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ with those people. Next one, please. And this is the children's retreat and the youth retreat. Last year, we had an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ with those children and the youth people. Next, please. And the shoebox program. One of the church from Mississippi is sponsoring this project, especially this past year. I had almost 200 kids. I mean, it says 190, but after they registered, there were some other kids came up. I had 200 children for this shoebox program. You see, back in India, the parents do not send their children to the Sunday schools or Sunday worships, but they send their children to this kind of occasions because they get some kind of gifts or whatever they think. But next one, please. And these are the kids on their day. I had 200 children gathered together for that. And on their day, they have had an opportunity to learn about Christian songs. They have an opportunity to learn scripture. And after they finished this occasion, when they went to their homes, they explained to their parents what they did today. And they had I bought those 200 bags to hand out those children. And we bought the items back there in India to send a shoebox, a box. If you want to send a box from here to India, the transportation is more than what we bought over there. So I bought those 200 bags and I fill up the items, the regular usage items, toothpaste, toothbrush, soaps, pens and pencils, and we fill it up with that items in that bag, and we hand out those bags to those children. After they use that, take their lunch bag when they are going to school. So the kids had an opportunity on that day. I had 200 children and another 50 people. Next, please. 250 people had good food. At the same time, the ice cream. Kids like ice cream a lot because they had an opportunity on that day. Next, please. And the goat project. We do have different projects over there in the ministry to help the people. You see, in India, if a family, a wife and husband come to know Jesus Christ, when they accept Jesus Christ as their personal savior, they lost everything. From the government, they lost loans, their children lost the scholarships from the government, so they lost everything. So what I am doing, when I raise some support to buy some goats, when I get back to home, we buy some goats to hand out the goats to the families who is able to take care about their own livestock. We hand out a goat to that family, and they do have to bring back the first female baby goat what we gave to the church. And it will be given to the other family in the same congregation. So it will give some financial, next one please. It will give some financial encouragement to the families in the church. So the government, over 90% people are Hindus. They worship the creation. Christians being persecuted. Under the circumstances, if someone come to know Jesus Christ, they lost everything. Under these circumstances, we are able to help them to survive a little bit financial encouragement. At the same time, in India, I'm sorry, I am not able to feed them beef back in India. Because India, cow is a sacred animal to them. Cow is a sacred animal to them. They believe reincarnation. So I'm not able to get beef over there. And last night, Becky asked me, when do we have steak? Which night we will get steak? So the goat meat is expensive over there. People, everybody eat goat meat. And we do have, the people have an opportunity. After the first female baby goat, as many as it gives, it belongs to the family, and they will raise some support through that goat project. We hand out some other goats at this place. So next one, please. And we built this pastor's residence is 10x8, and the other side we have a washroom, bathroom, and when Brother Mark and Becky were there, we were there up there. When they were up there, it's under construction. Next one, please. And where the other picture? We missed that. Okay. So when they were up there, the other side of that room, we have a church, and we do have that. Well, this church dedication, next one, please. And here they are. We dedicate that church. Brother John, Brother Mark and Becky were there when they were up there. We dedicated that church. And that's the people. We do have 40 to 45 people in that village, in that church. So the church, they had an opportunity nowadays to gather together at one place. Before we build that, they gathered at a person's, I mean, at a believer's house, but they do have an opportunity to get increase in the days to come in that village. So this is the church we dedicated over there when they were up there. Next, please. And the close distribution back in India. Next, please. The elderly people is ignored by the society because there is no social security system. There is no nursing homes. There is no pension schemes. There is no health care system. Under the circumstances, if a person come to their 50s and 60s, especially the India's lifespan is 58 years. When a person come to their 58 years without social security, without a nursing home system, without a healthcare system, think about how rough the life is. There is no medication system. So once a year, we buy the new clothes to the elderly people, and once a year we buy the new clothes to the pastors, and these elderly people have rough, I mean, their life is rough underneath the, I mean, at the time of summer, we do have 120 to 140 degrees with 80% humidity. So these people have hard time. They live underneath the bridges and underneath the trees. So we, the ministry, is taking care about these elderly people. The ministry is taking, when they need the medical help, I went there and I buy the medical help medicines to them. So when Brother Mark was there and they gave the new clothes. Once a year, we buy the new clothes to those people. Next one, please. And the pastors, these pastors, once a year, they got new clothes per year. I mean, to live as a pastor over there is a challenge because from which side the persecution will come, what will happen in the next days? Because over 90% population is Hindus, neighbors are Hindus, and the government, the federal government run by the Hindus, and the police department run by the Hindu community. The Christians are just 2% in that country. The 2% Christians, that minority. As a pastor, I have no opportunity to file a case against the people who is persecuting the Christians. I have no choice. I have no authority. The pastor who killed in the first picture, still today there is no case filed against him. So Christians being persecuted, these pastors living in those churches, in those villages, and they had an opportunity to buy the new clothes on that day. And the ministry is buying the new clothes. The next one, please. And this is the vehicle we do have nowadays. And when Brother Mark and Sister Becky were there, I mean, when we drive to the some churches, when we try to see some churches, the car stopped after 15 kilometers after we traveled. And another 5 minutes after we wait, five minutes, it's cranked up again, and another 15 minutes. So it gives lots of problems nowadays. And the ministry need a vehicle in the days to come. So please remember in your prayers in the days to come to have a new vehicle. Under this situations of the country, under this persecution situation of this country, how we do this kind of ministry, we do through your prayer support. We are doing through your prayer support and through your financial support. Otherwise, we can't do the preaching of the gospel over there in that country. In other words, you are the partners of the ministry. You are the co-workers in the kingdom of God to preach the gospel in that country. So what I request you, please remember in your prayers. Please remember in your prayers about the ministry, about those 10 pastors. We all are living in those areas. We need your prayer support. And thank you very much. And I do have to thank you, Brother Mark and Mom up there. And thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. Amen.